You are listening to the Life is Not Complicated, You Are Strong Opinions podcast, produced by Charles Andrews, with your host, best-selling author.
Identify yourself.
Carlos Wallace.
All right, I'm back with you on the Life is Not Complicated, Strong Opinions podcast. I got my girl Jasmine with me today. How you doing, Jazz?
I'm good, Mr. Wallace. How are you doing?
So tell the people about yourself a little bit before we get started.
Well, I'm Jasmine John. I'm an international student from Singapore. I'm currently working on my bachelor's degree at Houston Baptist University, about to graduate. So I'm excited for that. But other than that, I'm just a woman in Houston trying to navigate through my life here, taking it one day at a time.
Right, right. I love it. Hey. Now, just a little history. I met Jasmine about 3 or 4 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
She was in a class at Lone Star College and didn't really talk much. She had the Life is Not Complicated book assignment. And when I came back to visit, she said, "This book has inspired me to go in front of people and talk."
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so, and then I was the keynote speaker for the Psi Beta ceremony. Mm-hmm. And she had to follow me as a speaker. And she shut me down. Her very first public speech.
I wasn't planning to, I promise. Yeah.
No, I love seeing that. I'm glad I was a part of your first speech. Like, mm-hmm. it was amazing. And I know the world will get many, many, many more speeches. And I just hope I live long enough to see them all.
That's the plan. I want to share my story, and it's important to share my story because through doing that, I've learned already that people resonate, and there's so much power in that, you know? Mm-hmm. So one thing I really want to do is share my story, because I found inspiration through people sharing their own stories, so right. I want to be that agent of change.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Like I tell you guys in class, you're not the only person going through whatever you think you're going through.
And I got that from your book, you know, and I was like, I was fresh off the boat from Singapore, you know, and I read that book. It was for my psych class with Dr. Sawyer, and it just, honestly, going to the assignment, I was like, I gotta listen to an audiobook. I hate audiobooks.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But like just listening to it, you know, and like really paying attention to what you were saying and then taking that down and taking it in, more mm-hmm. importantly, was like it changed for yeah. me, you know, and that was so important. And I actually used that, you know, some of the stuff that you said, and that resonated with me, and that made me realize, like, wow, like I'm really not alone in this world, you know.
Right,
that was good.
So did it change your mind about audiobooks, or did it make you hate them? Because well, I know mine is better than all the other ones, you know.
Yes, but it also depends on like the type of book. If right. like if I'm on the go, I listen to like podcasts and right. you know. But if I really want to read a book, I like the physical book itself, because like, you know, you flip the pages, you look at the words differently, and right. you just it's a whole experience.
Right, so. Right. Well, I know now you have a copy of mine because you got it
yeah.
all highlighted.
I have all your underlined. Books, so yes, that's correct.
Yeah, man. So I know you're a psych major, and
that's correct.
So what is it? What do you want to do with your degree?
With my degree, I really do want to work with at-risk youth, adolescent at-risk youth, and I just want to. Growing up, I didn't have somebody or like, you know, just that community of support that I have now. Mm-hmm. So I really want to do that with my degree as it comes to like at-risk youth and just making a change in that field.
Mm. Okay. How long have you known that's what you wanted to do?
Well, my initial major was communications.
Okay.
And you already know this, but I took a psych class, and that class just changed my mind about my major. And initially I was like questioning whether I should do like a double major or just, you know, switch. But then over the summer in 2015, I think Dr. Sawyer was like, "Hey, you know, we have an opening for a Psi Beta officer position."
Right.
So I was like, "Hey, maybe that's the universe telling me, you know, this is where I should go." So I took that in, and over the summer, you know, we did Psi Beta stuff. Little did I know that my best friend, Marcus, at that time, you know, he was like grooming me to be president.
Because he was outgoing president.
Yeah, right? He was outgoing president. But like, you know, I was like, I would shadow him in meetings, you know, do the minutes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that it was like a segue into me being president.
Yeah.
And then when it was time for, you know, the elections and stuff like that, you know.
He put you out there.
He put me out there. And that's why I was like, have you guys found a president? And then she was like, you know, we already have one. I was like, okay, cool. It's like, we're looking at you. I'm just like,
wait a
okay.
minute.
I was taken aback, but I was ready to like, you know, just do the best with that situation, because
right.
like that position helped me grow so much,
mm-hmm.
and I attribute most of my growth to that, because mm-hmm. that really like pushed me out of my shell
mm-hmm.
a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I got a scholarship as well mm-hmm. through Psi Beta, and I've done so much from that position. And I've like, even at HBU, I've done so much with Psi Chi as well, which is like the International Society for
right.
Psychology at four-year universities. But just that from that position, you know, it has created such a ripple effect in my life, and
mm-hmm.
I still see that, you know? So,
you arrived on campus just a shy girl from Singapore. Look, I just come to get my degree.
I wouldn't even speak. Like, I remember Dr. Shah, I would like just mumble under my breath. And then she would come right next to me, and I was like second row, you know? I only do like the first two rows.
Right.
And, like, there's a triangle, you know, a focus.
Right.
So I'm just like, I sat there, and I knew she heard me, but she was like, what was that, Jasmine? Speak up, I can't hear you, you know? So through that, I just, you know, I fell in love with psychology
mm-hmm.
just through that class. And like throughout my college career, I've noticed like there's a difference between like professors that really love their job
yes.
and, you know, want to know their purpose and what they're doing, you
right.
know, than those who just come in
just to get a check.
Just to get a check. And
I
I'm
was
just
explaining
like,
that to students when I was at HBO mm-hmm. Thursday night. I said, listen, I don't think y'all understand it. Maybe y'all do because they're grad students and
yeah.
they've gone through it. But when I talked to the freshmen, I said, I don't think y'all understand the level of love Dr. Sawyer has for you guys
yeah.
as students
yeah.
and the passion that she see in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some students think, man, she just always on me. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand.
They don't understand.
I've been to schools where a professor won't even know your name.
They don't understand.
like
the love I have for Dr. Sawyer and appreciation, like, she's taken me under her wing
mm-hmm.
and she saw me for, you know, my greatness when nobody else would,
right.
you know, and that alone has like allowed me the confidence to even believe in myself and go out and do good things. I'm about to graduate,
right,
you know, can
right.
you believe that? Like,
right.
that's just crazy. So I fell in love with psych, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And just through like my speaking engagement, just going out and reaching out to people, and I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. This is what I was meant to do. And I'm in love with it.
Right.
It's like,
right.
there's no going back now.
No,
you know?
I mean, it's amazing. You arrive on campus, like I said, the shy girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make any friends. Look,
mm-hmm.
I just got to get my degree
yep.
so I can get a job, get on with
yep.
my life.
Yep.
And the next year, you're the president
mm-hmm.
of what I consider the most important organization on campus.
Yep.
you know?
Yep.
And it's, you know, I will say, nothing against the new Psi Beta president or any of the future ones, but you are by far my favorite. And I hadn't nearly been as involved
mm-hmm.
as I was, you know, when you
mm-hmm.
were there. It's just something about that group.
Yeah.
It was an amazing group.
We were driven for sure, and we had good, you know, leadership
mm-hmm.
during that time. I can't speak on it now because I'm not there.
Right.
But I do know, like, what I'm doing at Psi Chi, like, I'm about to graduate, but I always believe in leaving something better than I found it.
Correct.
And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I've been doing, you know.
I think you read that in my book.
No, I didn't. but yeah, that's my goal in life. You
yeah.
know, I can find things like, you know, at their lowest, but to leave it
right,
better
right.
than you found it, there's so much power in that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Right. Because if not, I mean, what are you here for? You
right.
know what I mean? What would you say were your biggest challenges when you came here?
My biggest challenges would be like me being shy, just
mm-hmm.
not being able to speak up for myself, because I would have so much trouble even going to like Walmart or even like getting stuff like at a restaurant. I'll ask my cousin like,
wow.
hey, can you like, you know, give my money? Because I was shy, like really, really shy. And just being like able to speak up for myself and learn the importance for that, about
mm-hmm.
Learn the importance of that. And also like just communication
mm-hmm.
Between my parents, my family, the whole time difference, and being away from my family. Like, yes, I was here with my aunt and her family. That was great for me, but
mm-hmm.
just being away from family, stuff that I was really familiar with, my friends, you know, that just shook me for the first semester. And I was homesick, And I got like sick a lot, but I didn't miss a day of school. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of myself because like I don't miss school. Mm-hmm. Like I've never missed school until like, you know, I got really sick.
And in college, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because there's like, no one there to make you go.
In high school, I actually suffered from depression. I was diagnosed with depression at 13. Wow. And, you know, I went through a lot because my childhood stuff. And I used to miss school a lot. I was in the hospital. So just like going to school over here on like a regular basis was mm-hmm. like, it was a challenge for me, but I took myself up on that challenge and I like made sure I like stuck through it. So mm-hmm. that was something that I had to deal with as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because like I said, you know, as an adult mm-hmm. or a young adult in mm-hmm. college, there's no one there to force you out of bed every
right.
day.
Right.
So for you to say, look, I'm going to challenge myself to do this. Mm-hmm. That's great. Like that speaks of your leadership mm-hmm. and the qualities in you that says, hey, this is one you need to keep your eye on because right. 10, 15, 20 years from now, she's going to be the boss. She's going to be running major organizations. Or I say you're going to be a political figure. You disagree, but...
I just don't know it yet.
I'm going to hold you to it. Yeah.
Well, also, like, the thing with foreign parents, it's like, you can't mess around with them. You know?
Right, right.
I was raised in Singapore, you know, my aunt raised me, but, like, just having foreign parents and my aunt over here is just... No, they don't take no for an answer, and they right. don't take anything less than an A. So
yeah.
people used to laugh at me when I used to like, hey, I'm at a B right now. You know, how can I like improve my grade? They're like, no, girl, you're fine. You're at a B. I was like, I
you
need
don't
that A.
Yeah.
I'm willing to work towards getting that A, no matter what. You
right,
know, anything
right.
that I can do, I'm gonna do it.
Right.
I'm gonna get that A.
So speaking of that, like. Your parents back home, as for you know, your aunt here, like a parent.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cultural difference in America? I mean, at home, obviously, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stern, listen, we don't play. But, you know, out in society, like, what's the cultural difference?
Cultural difference, I would say, like, it's a lot of cultural difference. You know, in Singapore, it's more like a collectivistic community. But mm. over here, it's like individualistic, everyone for themselves, basically. So I had to learn that quickly. Even though I had my aunt here, like at home, it was like, you know, we all come together, we all do stuff together. But at school, you know, when you're out in the world working as well, it's just all by yourself.
Each
you know?
Man for himself.
Yeah, and I had to learn that. And that is one of the things that helped me, you know, just continue pushing myself out of my comfort zone. Because if I kept quiet,
mm-hmm.
people would just walk all over
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And I've had my share of that. So I was like, no, ma'am. I'm not going to let people walk over me anymore, you know. So as it comes to, like, society, I would say, like, the media, there's one big difference about the media and what's portrayed on TV, because in Singapore, like, the stuff is censored.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only, like, one news media that, like, you know, we, from what I knew, you know, we just had, like, one news time. It was the 9 o'clock news, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But over here, everything is, like, instant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something happens down the street, oh, it's on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that kind of, like, contorts people's ideas of it, because like they just pick up the first thing they see, you
right.
know, they don't even do their research.
True or not.
Yeah, and they just run with it, and that perpetuates like more lies and, you know, confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like
mm-hmm. And so, and you don't really experience that back home, right?
No, not much. Like there's stuff on like Twitter. I'm on Twitter a lot, but you know, as it comes to the government and stuff,
yeah.
Mm-mm.
No. Yeah, and you know, I've been to Singapore. It was many years ago.
Yeah.
Like 90, 91.
I wasn't even born yet.
Right. and I loved it because it was so clean
mm-hmm.
and just everything just seemed so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, seems like nothing. Singapore looked like a model home. Nothing was out of place.
Well, you can't chew gum there.
Right, right. When I tell people that, they didn't believe me.
You can't chew gum there.
I said, man, you can't chew. What do you mean you can't chew gum? I said, trust me, bro.
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't spit.
Can't
and
spit
if you don't flush the toilet,
yep.
you're going to get fined. That's why they call it the fine city, air quotes.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I knew the spit. Like, they was like, man, when, you know, I was in the Navy, and every country we would go to before
mm-hmm.
we would get there, the day before, we would have GMT, General Military Training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a class that taught us about the culture and the laws.
Like a crash course?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A crash course of the country that we're about to, you know, more up. And that was things that was like, hey, you know, if you guys have any chewing gum, do not take it off the ship. And don't get caught spitting on the sidewalk
mm-hmm.
or the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll receive a fine. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So when I share that, but, you know, an hour after being there, it doesn't even you know, I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, when something looks so perfect, you don't want to spend anyway. You know what I mean? Right? Like, I don't want to be the one ruining it.
Like, everyone tells me, oh, Singapore is so beautiful.
Oh, and yeah.
I get it. It's beautiful, but the cost of living,
it's
high.
Is expensive.
And, like, it's one of the highest countries with the levels of depression when it comes to it. Like, it's clean and green, and the airport's, like, one of the best. But when it comes to, like, just living there, just me being home for vacation, I'm stressed out on the train.
But everybody there has a purpose, right? Like, everybody has a job. You got to go to school. Like, you can't just bum around.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why I had to get out. Because, no, because, like, not because I was a bum. Just, like, it was too rigid for me.
Go.
And it was just, like, one path for everyone.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if you know this, but, like, you take one of your major exams at 12. And people have committed suicide because of, you know, failing, or like even the fear of failure drives them to do such things, you know. And I feel like that education system is so messed up, you know, because at 12, like, you're basically, like, you know, determining your life.
Mm-hmm.
So at 12 you do that, and then that sets you into, like, different streams of education. We have the express, normal, and then the technical. So if you fall into the technical, it's like, it's just like, that's it, you know?
You're gonna be a laborer for the rest of your
life. It's not a bad thing, but society in Singapore has made it seem like, oh, working with your hands, it's like, it's bad. So it's just, I knew that wasn't for me, because I knew from a young age that I wanted to be my own boss,
right?
You know, and Singapore doesn't encourage that. You know, I told myself, I'm never gonna work a 9-to-5 for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my goal that I'm working towards, you know? But just, I knew that I had to get it out there for that reason.
Right.
Because I see my parents struggle. I see my family struggle. It's not easy, you know, putting, you know, me through college, you know, in another country. But they do it, you know, they're almost done.
And they sacrifice for that, right?
They do. It's a lot they sacrifice. And I'm so thankful and grateful for them. Even my family, my friends back home, I'm thankful for their support, because they show me support. Even my teachers back home, they still remember me from, like, primary, secondary school. So,
man, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. I'm getting into this. It's good. And you didn't even want to do it. You're too shy. All right, we'll be right back with you on the Life Is Not Complicated Strong Opinion Podcast. The thing students say, like, you know, man, because of this book, I didn't commit suicide. Because of this book, I can now speak in public and come out of my shell. Because of this book, I'm not so worried about what other people say about me, you know, not looking for their validation. That's what touches me.
My favorite chapter was about not letting either your boss, boyfriend, girlfriend, mother, family, anybody get in your way of being successful in whatever it is you want to do.
To purchase Life Is Not Complicated, You Are, or the other 99 times, or to download the audio versions, please visit carloswallace.com.
All right, we're back with you on the Life Is Not Complicated Strong Opinions Podcast. I want to stay with your parents for a couple more minutes, because we talk about a lot, but we never really talked about your parents.
Yeah, I don't really talk about that, because,
right,
you know, it's, family is important to me, but, like, they're so far away. It's like they're always at the back of my mind,
right,
but, like, I try not to get distracted by that,
right?
Because I feel like a lot of people, like, especially international students, you know, they're thinking about home so much, and that distracts them from their purpose over here.
Right.
So I've done a good job at doing that, and I feel like just where I'm at in my college career, I've learned how to discern the importance of, like, giving my time to what needs my time, you know, and I've cut out people that, you know, that don't serve me in ways that, you know, that I thought they would, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even people have cut me off, and that's fine. And that's self-love, you know, and that's growth, you know. Just knowing when to cut people off is so important. And keeping up with that, you know, because it's just, it drains your mental health.
Right, right.
And I went, like, 2 weeks without talking to my parents, you know, but I had to do that for myself.
Right, right.
And they got mad at me. They're like, oh, you're so far away. And, you know, but that's fine.
Right.
Honestly, that's fine, because nothing compares to, like, my mental health. Like, taking care of it right now is so important, because it's only gonna get up from here, you know?
Right, right.
So.
a whole lot to do. I was talking to some students last week, actually, when I was out in Florida. And I was sharing this story about, the movie's old and you guys have never seen it, but Above the Rim is Denzel Washington. And he plays Ray Allen's father. And Ray Allen is a aspiring basketball player. It's a scholarship, you know. And it's about a dysfunctional relationship between a father and a son. But it's something interesting that Denzel, he went away to prison. And while he was away, he didn't write anybody. And he didn't want anybody to write him or come visit him, because his philosophy is where he's like, you know, I don't want your life to stop just because mine stopped.
Right.
Focus your energy on what needs your energy, right? Because there's nothing you can do for me where I'm going, you know. And because Ray Allen was such a, his character was such a little boy, like when his dad went, he took it as his dad didn't love him or didn't care. And it's not that. He's like, I wanted you to focus on becoming a man because I couldn't help you with, you know, I'm in prison.
Right.
And so it took a lot, I think, for a father even be able to say that, you know. But so I understand what you're saying.
Like, I want to add on that, too, because, like, growing up, I didn't, like, grow up with my parents. It was a complex relationship that I had with my parents. But I used to have so much resentment towards them, especially my mom. But just realizing that she did what she thought was best at that time, you know, and she left me in the care of family, you know, my aunt raised me. But just I had to go through a lot just to come to that realization. She did what she thought was best for me at that time.
Right.
And that's fine. I would rather be, you know, in that situation than to have, you know, gone through neglect from her and then go through a whole different set of psychological problems, you know. So I have a complex relationship with my parents, for sure. And, you know, dads, they're not emotional. I've only seen my dad cry like twice, you know. And my mom is like, she's not very vocal about her emotions as well. So that, I don't know if that has changed, because, like, we don't, I didn't live with them until I was like 18. And I lived with them for like 3 months, and then I came here. See how crazy the world is, right? So I lived with them for 3 months, and then, you know, May of 2014, I moved here. So,
What made you choose Lone Star? I'm just.
Okay, so I came here. My aunt lives here. She's been here for a while. And 2011, we all came here for like a family vacation with my cousins, Trisha, Natasha. You know, we all had a road trip, everything. And I knew when I was younger that I wanted to get out of Singapore. So when I came here in 2011, it was a vacation, but I was still looking out at options, you know, for school. And I saw Lone Star and, you know, HCC. I didn't think about it at that time because my aunt was like, yeah, there's Lone Star, you know, it's right down the street. And like everywhere you go, you see like Lone Star billboards. I don't know if it's still prevalent now, but back in like 2011, it was. And I was like, oh, okay, let me like Google them, let me check them out. And their fees were affordable. So 2012, I came here, did my research, you know, met with several advisors and visited different campuses.
But you were like 15, 16?
I was 16 in 2012, yeah.
And you were doing all this by yourself?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I had help from my aunt, you know, she used to drive me stuff.
But I mean, you were going in to speak with them alone?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my aunt would like just drop me off because like she has work to do, right? So she'll drop me off and like, you know, I take care of business, you know, just get all the information. And I told my, I posted a picture on Instagram on that day. I was like, today was a fruitful day. I still have that post on my Instagram, you know, and I knew like this is what I'm going to do. So I went home in January, spoke to my parents, you know, I was like, I'm going to finish up school here. But just know that you gotta do what you gotta do. But I'm leaving, you know, once I get my my O-level cert, which is basically like the high school diploma.
Right.
So I just knew. And it was like affordable. I didn't wanna like jump into like a four-year university. And people don't realize the value of that.
I try to.
The foundation of like community college is so much negative.
Well, they think it's just cool to go straight to A&M or UT.
Yeah, but then they're in so much debt.
Right, and a lot of them don't make it because they it's like going to a whole new city.
They like the idea of it.
That's
they like the idea of independence,
that's
being away from family, that, oh yeah, I can do what I want. But they don't understand that these decisions that they make at age 16, 18, it all adds up.
Correct.
You know? And I'm so thankful that my parents have paid for my college because I'm an international student. I can't like get out loans or anything.
Right.
But I would much rather like struggle now than to be, you know, just having debt for the rest of my life.
Correct.
You know? And
right.
I don't want to like start off my life with a debt.
Right.
Like, that's something that I've like, it's a personal moral for me. So.
Right. Yeah, I try to explain it to them. Like, man, you can gain so much more. Yes. Go to the community college,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and kind of grow into.
Because
what
foundation
it is
so important.
Absolutely.
You know, people don't realize that, and when they do, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
I've had professors, you know, like who still are in contact with me right now. You know, and the importance of foundation and like building your circle,
mm-hmm.
and you know, taking. You don't burn bridges. You like, you
right.
know, use those bridges to get to where you want to go. But like, you don't forget the people that helped you get there.
Right,
you know,
right.
And that's something that I've strongly believe. You don't forget the people that helped you get there.
Yeah, so. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Now we're gonna switch gears a little bit. I wanna talk to you a little bit about politics. You know, my passion.
Okay.
So
we can do that.
I know you kind of stay in tune with the political landscape here.
Mm-hmm.
We have this very colorful president that's probably globally known.
Yes.
So how do you feel about our political system and political landscape in comparison to Singapore?
Well, in Singapore, it's more of a democratic society. We have like different parties, but it's not to a point where it's like so segregated between Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
There are different political parties that you can like vote for, but I think there's only one time that, you know, it wasn't the main political party.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like there's not much autonomy when it comes to politics in Singapore.
Uh-huh.
But over here it's like everyone has a vote, you know, they
right.
can either shift towards Democrats or Republicans.
Right.
So I don't know if that answers the question.
Well, I think your generation is going to change that because millennials are kind of, I don't want to say fed up, but just kind of disgusted by the political atmosphere now.
Yeah.
Because it is so segregated.
Mm-hmm.
And millennials' view on life is not segregation,
yeah.
but inclusive,
yeah.
you know, togetherness.
Yeah.
And so they... You guys that I talked to, like, they hate it that it's so one or the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's the two-party system is, I think, in my opinion, in the next 12, 15, 20 years, because of your generation, it will eventually be faded out.
I mean, I would hope so because, like, I've noticed, like, just from both ends of the spectrum, like, you know, when people put certain people into power, it gives them a voice.
Right.
It gives them, you know, a way to like kind of act out on what they've been thinking.
Right.
And I've noticed that,
right.
you know, just from the color of my skin.
Right, right,
you
right.
know, people have been more vocal about how they feel about like immigrants and even the border.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are talking about, oh, we won't have avocados anymore because the border is closed. But there's so much more important things that
yeah.
that won't happen or will happen because of the border.
Right, right,
so,
right.
So, like, priorities, man, it's not.
But they see the avocado because that's what's on Facebook.
Right.
Like, but are they, like, how many times have I said in class, think for yourself.
Right.
Think for yourself. Do the research. Mm-hmm. Look into it. Like, to me, voting comes to this. How does it affect you?
But it's the herd mentality.
Yeah.
If they see on Twitter, oh,
it must be true.
Like, don't go out to vote. Don't, they're not gonna vote.
Right.
But like that vote, you know, plays so much. Like your vote counts.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I didn't vote just for the fun of it. But your life,
right,
is in your own hands, and you're not, you know, making that step. So
because I don't think people stop to think how it's gonna affect them.
Right. Not you know? Not even right now, but like 5 years down
correct.
The road, 10
yeah.
years down the road. Because yeah. every decision
a different policy or different you
it
know,
adds up.
It adds up.
It definitely adds up.
But for you to say, man, I don't care, you know, it doesn't affect me.
And because
like,
someone else
crazy?
Told you to
right.
or because you saw it on social media, that's you can't think for yourself.
No.
Like how far can you go in life?
Have
you
an
know?
Independent thought. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like I understand following the rules and staying
mm-hmm.
within the boundaries, but have an independent thought. Like
right.
it's okay. It's mm-hmm. not against the law, you know. Because some countries will not allow you to do that.
Yeah.
you know. But yeah, like but study the politics and the people Of course, I'm Democrat.
Like, yeah, do your research, yeah. You know.
I'm Democrat because I'm pro-labor.
Right.
But there's a lot of things Democrats do that I disagree with. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things Republicans do that I may agree with.
Yeah.
But I identify as Democrat because I'm pro-labor.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I support every Democratic candidate because...
And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, and but you tell some Democrats that and they think you're crazy. What do you mean? I said, look, dude.
Because it's always got to be the extreme ends of things. There
right.
can't be no in between. It's no gray areas,
and
right?
For us to win, it has
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. Like, mm-hmm. you can't say it's either far left or far right.
Mm-hmm.
That just won't work, you know. And I talk about that in 99, how I'm such a black and white person. But as I grew in life, I came to understand that I'm actually the gray mm-hmm. of society.
Right.
I'm the person that can take the hood guy and make him understand what the boardroom guy said.
Right.
And I can make the boardroom guy understand the language of the hood guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the guy
and
in the middle.
That's important.
That's important.
Because, like, you're that bridge, like I
yeah.
mentioned earlier, you know.
Because if we don't have those people, then mm-hmm. it would just be a constant civil war.
Like, it's that same idea that keeps perpetuating
until
they see that change for themselves,
yep.
you know.
Yep. And where do we get, you know, where do we go from there? Nowhere.
I feel like change begins from yourself. You know, you got to do your research. You got to actually put in the work if you really want to make a difference, not in just your life, but the life of others as well.
Right, so. Right. Now, sticking with that, like, are you and your peers concerned about the country, like, immediately or long term because of the political landscape?
Yes, we are, because I've had conversations with my peers and even, like, in meetings, you know, it's so important to cultivate that attitude of being, you know, concerned about politics, because it's going to affect us whether we like it or not, whether we even like take that step forward to like even vote or, you know, show up at like town hall meetings, you
right.
know. That's so important. But people like outside of my circle, I can't speak for them, but I've seen like on Twitter and stuff like that, they're like not concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, oh yeah, let the older guys take care of that.
No.
But these older guys are gonna die eventually.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, so it's up to us to actually like take control of, I won't say the situation, but just how it's, the direction it's heading, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Do you think you're more disciplined and focused because of the cultural makeup, you know, coming from single
mm-hmm.
to America? Because like a lot of students here, you've been in class with them, they got an excuse, you know, I was at the Britney Spears concert, so I can't come to class. And you're like, are you kidding? You know, so you, would you say you're more focused and disciplined because of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I said, if I want an A, you know, my goal going into every class is an A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get out of it with an A, right? And I've seen people be like, oh, you're at a 89 or you're an 88, you're fine. I was like, no.
Right.
You know, I'm committed to coming to class. I'm committed to doing my work and submitting on time. And that if I need help from my professors, I'm going to reach out to them.
Right.
I'm that student that shows up, you know, in professors' offices during
right.
their office hours. I'm that student that, you know, on campus, and, you know, people know me because I told myself that I'm going to make myself known. I'm going to be there, you know, like, and use my resources.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
when things are there for you, you use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't just come to, a lot of people come to campus, you know, take the class and you just leave. And there's so much importance in like being involved
right.
in that community, in that campus community that
right.
you're in. And you can grow from that. I've
yeah.
had leadership positions and I've grown from that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but people don't realize the importance of that until it's too late.
So do you think it's possible, I know it is, but from your perspective, mm-hmm. to take that focus and that mentality into adulthood,
yes.
follow through with politics, dedication to improving the community and, mm-hmm. and the whole nine?
Well, it starts at a young age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 21 days to form a habit, you know, we all
yeah.
know that.
Yeah.
But just having that structure, that routine, I
mm-hmm.
feel like that shapes, that at least for me, it has shaped how I am
right.
and like my work ethic. You know, I've interned at places, volunteered, and I've gotten commended because of that,
mm-hmm.
of my work ethic. And a lot of people can't say that for themselves.
Right.
And they tend to blame the external.
Right.
It's like, is that in your internal locus of control? Is that your external locus of control? You know,
wow.
what can you do?
Yep.
You know, but stop complaining.
Yes.
What can you do?
Right.
Do some introspection, you
right.
know? So a lot of people don't do that.
Man.
And they just blame the world.
They create this invisible opponent
mm-hmm.
And who are you mad at? I can't see the person. Who are you mad at? Look in the mirror, you know? All right, we're going to take another break, man. You putting it on some good stuff today. All right, we'll be right back with you on the Life's Not Complicated Strong Opinions Podcast.
Other 99 times, count your blessings. Season 2, showing now on NetNY.TV, Theos by Verizon, Channel 48, Optimum, Channel 30, and Spectrum, Channel 97. Season 1, streaming on Amazon Prime Video.
Hey guys, don't forget to text COMPLICATED to 22828. For your chance to win a copy of the best-selling audiobook, Life is Not Complicated, You Are. That's 22828 for your chance to win a copy of audio version of Life is Not Complicated, You Are. All right, we're back with you on the Life is Not Complicated Strong Opinions Podcast. Now, we had an interesting conversation during the break about gun control in America and how you view gun control here versus in Singapore. So share with them what you was telling me.
Well, growing up in Singapore, we had absolutely like no perception of like owning a gun, you know, because it's not, firstly, it's not legal there. The only people I would see with guns are like cops.
Right.
You know, so, but coming here, you know, just knowing that people own guns, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but just having the ability to like discern between when to use your gun, you know, to shoot someone senselessly or to even like use it for your own protection. But because they have access to that, I feel like people try to, not, they don't try, but they've misused or abused that,
of course, yeah.
That, you know, just having a gun. And I've seen a lot of shootings, you know, be it in the news or locally or like in different states. Just, it was a lot for me to take in, you know, just a shooting every other night, you know, seeing on the news, because in Singapore, I never had that growing up.
Right.
So it just made me question, you know, how would children perceive that, you know, having to grow up with that kind of news every day, you know, like that would shake somebody.
You should.
Yeah, and I used to like fear just, you know, seeing that kind of news and just fear of being out, you know, what if I'm eating at a restaurant, somebody shoots it for no reason,
right.
You know? And I was like, I still live in fear because of that, because you never know.
Right, right.
Time
Matter
is
fact,
up.
I think you were still at Lone Star when they passed the law that you could now bring them to school, right?
Yes, I was still in Lone Star. I was about to graduate.
Yeah.
And a lot of professors were like, not in my office.
Yeah, I think we had a discussion about that in class.
And that's just so dangerous because, you know, anything can happen if a student's not happy with their grades. They just pull it out on a professor or even another student just because, you know. And I don't think that's right.
Right.
Nobody should feel threatened when they come to a place of education, a place of worship. You know, even like with the Christchurch shootings, you know, the thing happened that day on a Friday, but the law that they put in place was so immediate, and I just wonder,
they didn't waste any time.
They didn't waste no time, and I'm just wondering, like, what would it take for America to implement such?
Well, I always say when the right kid gets killed, or the right person, because I'm going to tell you, and this is way before your time, but when President Reagan, the attempted assassination on him, like right away they put the Brady Bill in place, you know, and it was a gun restriction, you know, type situation, immediate. Yeah. It didn't take long, you know what I mean? So I think it just takes when the right kid, you know.
But how many kids?
And it's sad that it's that way.
How many lives, you know?
Like Lil Baron Trump. Mm-hmm. I don't know what school he attends in Washington, but let his school get shot up Monday. I promise you Tuesday we'll be having some stricter regulation. You know what I mean?
Well, that's sad though.
It's sad.
One life shouldn't be valued over the other.
I agree 100%.
Valued more over the other. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just that in America, profit rules everything, and that's the worship, you know what I mean?
I agree.
So to restrict guns, it restricts a lot of profit for a lot of people, mainly politicians, because the NRA lines their
pockets. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate that it even has to get to that
point. That's why you millennials have to change it.
That's the plan.
The Parkland students out in Florida, man, I'm really proud of them. Mm-hmm. Actually, I met two kids last week that went to that school.
Oh, wow.
They transferred after you know, now they mm-hmm. go to the school where I was speaking. But what made me so proud was that they organized right away.
Right.
They didn't need their parents to tell them.
Right.
They didn't need some senator or congressman to come visit. Mm-hmm. They did it themselves, mm-hmm. man. And not just at that school,
right.
but they organized you guys nationwide.
Yes.
You know, when they showed up in Washington, mm-hmm. I think it was a half a million of them.
I think they had one in Houston as well.
Yeah, like it was, they mobilized really quick. And if you want to get politicians' attention, mm-hmm. do that.
Right.
Because they, man, this may be the make or break whether I win this
because
election.
Because if you don't do it, if you don't do the work, nobody else is going to do it for you.
Nobody's
and you know, you can't sit around waiting on, oh, when is this going to change? When is that going to change? You have to take it up on yourself to do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it was a situation years ago, man. I don't remember exactly, but I know it was long enough ago that my children were still in school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an immigration type thing. An attack on immigrants from Mexico specifically. And the mm-hmm. students in Houston organized and they all walked out of school that day.
Oh,
like
wow.
all the Hispanic children and, mm-hmm. and their friends were, but it was like thousands and thousands. Mm-hmm. And me and a couple guys at work were discussing it. It was like, man, if my kids walk out, I'm gonna bust their butt. I said, I'm gonna be proud. Whether I agree or not,
right.
at least they stood for something.
They stood for something. They stood for something that's greater than themselves.
Yes, and what they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't tell them what they can believe in. You
right.
know what I mean? It's your job as a parent to teach them, mm-hmm. educate. Like I'm just the training wheels
right.
on your bike.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to guide the bike.
Right.
You know, you still got to pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get balance down, we take the training wheels off.
Right.
And now you have to balance, guide, and pedal.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for now, you got to pedal it and you have to guide it.
I mean, as parents, it's important for them to like provide the resources
and
the environment. And it's up to us what we want to do with it.
Yeah, what you going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And because I believe it or not, we're not going to be with you forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. My mom died when I was 27.
Mm-hmm.
Who thinks that their mother's going to die at 27? Who thinks you're going to be motherless at 27?
Yep.
My youngest brother was 19.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so you got to figure it out.
You have to.
Yeah. And then 10 years later, our father died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to figure it out. So he was 29. No dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's a big deal. And I don't think people stop to think about that.
Yeah.
So quit being the mind of your children.
Right.
And teach them to know how to make what decision they think is best mm-hmm. for them, you know.
Like nourish them so that they can nourish their own minds,
correct.
You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry for stealing some of your time.
No, but you're fine.
So we already touched it a little bit, but the impact of social media in your generation, like I know you said, look, it's bad because people just see the first thing, they click on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk about it in 99. Mm-hmm. I compare it to hip hop. Like nobody listens to the lyrics. They just listen to the hook and that's it. They,
mm-hmm.
this song's great. What is it saying? I have no idea, but I like the hook. And I feel that same way about media. You know, like nobody really reads the article. They
mm-hmm.
just, they see the headline and that's it, you know.
I agree to a certain extent because people, they can choose to either use social media as a tool or a crutch.
Right.
And for me, I've gotten better with using it as a tool as compared to a crutch. You know, I go on there, post my stuff, you know, I'm doing photography and art stuff. I post my stuff, you know, get connected with people, you know, not even just in Houston, but across the states, you know, across borders. And I feel like if people can use that as a tool to connect, there's so much power in that.
Right.
You know, just sharing your story online, you know, but a lot of people use it as a crutch. You know, they go on there and they complain, they go out, they post hate, you know, why?
Mm.
You know, why are you putting that negative energy out there?
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's just, social media is good and bad in that sense because
mm-hmm.
I've been able to, you know, get in touch with family, you know, FaceTime and
right.
Facebook. That's how I keep in touch with my family. Now I'm not on Facebook a lot because like it's for the older people, but but it's just you know, I check in every now and then just so people know that I'm
right,
here and doing okay.
Okay.
So
now speaking of that, like the negative energy and going back to the immigrants, like how are immigrants perceived to millennials?
I think millennials are more accepting of immigrants because, mm-hmm. you know, when there's talk about the border or when there's talk about, you know, ICE going out there and like conducting raids. There was one in Texas just, I think this week, you mm-hmm. know, where they just went in. There was like, it was a support for immigrants, you know, when it comes to millennials, like, why? It's like right. a basic human right, you know, like, what's your purpose of going to their place of, you know, work, you right. know, and doing that? And just through social media, I've seen millennials like in favor mm-hmm. of not like going out and raiding them, but just providing support. Because I've seen people like coming on there and be like, you know, man, you know, people getting, you know, raids at their workplace and stuff like that. It's just providing support. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I've seen that in the millennials. So,
you know, and it's interesting because to the simple mind, mm-hmm. when they think immigrant, they only think Mexican.
Yeah.
Latino, you know, right? Mm-hmm. And they could be sitting right next to you. You're right. an immigrant. And they don't think of that. They just think, yeah. oh, well, you're not Mexican.
Because of what they see in the media.
Because what they see in the media.
All right now is the border.
Right.
Everything is about the border
right,
right now. So, I mean, we won't get avocados. But, you know, who cares about the children being detained?
And, right.
You know, the parents being taken away from the yeah. little kids, you know, having to be in the courtrooms.
Right.
They don't think about that.
No.
Because it doesn't affect them directly.
It affect them.
But avocados.
Right, right, right. Speaking of which, man, like the general consensus of people my age or even older mm-hmm. look at you guys as like very selfish and you don't care about anyone or anyone but yourself. Like, how do you feel about that?
I feel that's a stereotype,
yeah.
you know, and that's like, that's just the mindset that, you know, the older guys have put on us. Like, we're lazy and we don't want to, you know, go out there. But we actually do. Mm-hmm. And I can't speak for everyone, but just people in my circle and people that I've known, you know, we're not lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not selfish. Because if anything, we show up for each other
mm-hmm.
a lot in ways that, you know, if we can't find support out there, we're going to come back to our circle and see how, you know, we're building our circle. How are we like enriching our own lives?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's anything selfish about that.
And you guys don't get enough credit for it.
We
know?
Don't.
I fight for y'all all the time, man.
Like, we're labeled like lazy, you know, like we complain a lot, but no. But
yeah.
if you think about it, you know, it's what was said before.
Yeah.
What was the standard before? We're fighting against that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think, you know, you become the people you're around.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when I hear adults talk about that or say that, I'm like, maybe you're around lazy,
right.
selfish
right.
millennials.
Mm-hmm.
The millennials that I know are progressive,
right.
Independent thinkers,
mm-hmm.
Go-getters, you know, aspiring to be tomorrow's entrepreneur.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're not really looking to get a job.
And they're putting in the work for themselves.
Correct. Cause... They're looking to create a job.
Right.
And so when I hear that, I'm like, hey, man, I don't know who you talk to, but
right.
the ones I know aren't like that.
Because I know I'm not, and I have peers like, they're not like that.
Right.
It's... They say, like, you know, you become, you know, your mindset, you know, thinking is based on the people that you spend most of your time with. And I don't disagree.
Right, right. Yeah. With that said, like, what do you feel like your generation or your peers have contributed to society?
Well, I would say, like, being able to provide resources to not just the millennial community, mm-hmm. but just being able to put ourselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen, like, through social media, you know, we've talked about it, just providing help through social media. You know, we have, like, GoFundMes, you know,
mm-hmm.
just, like, that is picking up pace just right now in recent years, you know. Just the importance of just that one click,
yeah.
that connection, and it just connects you to people.
Growth
and that's
that.
So much power
right.
in that. Because people can be, you know, in their home, depressed, but they get online, they reach out to people, be like, hey, I'm feeling kind of way, you know, can you advise me on that? I reach out to you, you know? I reach out to Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Story. It's like, there's so much power in
right.
reaching out and asking for help. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like this generation has allowed, kind of like normalized the idea of reaching out.
Right.
And it's okay to not be okay.
Right.
And I feel like that is something that I hope that it stays.
Cause I like that.
That's important.
Yeah, that's a big thing, man. I agree. I like that. That's a very positive, you know, affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good contribution to society.
Yeah.
So, going back to politics, do you think a politician like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a good voice for your generation? Do you see there being more political figures like that?
Yes, because she's relatable, mm-hmm. I feel, in like millennials. She's relatable to millennials, and the work that she's doing is important,
mm-hmm.
I would say this. And she speaks up for what she believes in, and that's important. In politics, it's hard to find people like that. So I definitely want more people like that in, mm-hmm. you know, politics. So it's important.
Yeah, I like her, even though I may not agree, mm-hmm. with everything she does, but I like what you said. Mm-hmm. The fact that she stands up and say what it is she feel like she should say.
Right.
But the most important thing I love about her is she fights for her district.
Right.
You know, with a lot of the people that criticize her, mm-hmm. especially that I talk to on a daily basis in Houston, I have to remind them, dude, she's not in Washington for you.
Right.
You know, who's the person there representing your district? And right. most of them don't even know.
Right.
They have no idea. They just see on Twitter or, you know, Yahoo front page.
Which brings me back to my point. They don't do research for
they
themselves.
Don't do research.
And they complain when,
yeah.
you know, things are not how they want it to be.
Yeah. I said, you know, she introduced a Green Deal.
Mm-hmm.
A policy, you know, more green, and I didn't read it, but it failed. It, you know, it didn't win. And there's so many people criticizing it. And I said, that girl has been in office for 3 months,
right.
and has written a bill.
Right.
Tell me who your congressman is and how many bills he's written.
In that time frame that they've been office.
They've been there 20 years. Tell me a bill that right. he or she has written.
Mm-hmm.
That should make you mad.
Right.
If you disagree with her bill or disagree with it, you should say, at least she wrote one.
Right.
So, but we have a lot of people, just every 2 years, every 4 years, come around, knock on your door, show up mm-hmm. at your church,
mm-hmm.
at your college campus, wherever, mm-hmm. and ask for your vote.
Right. But what are they doing?
We need people stand up and say, sir, you know, you've been there for the last 6 years, or ma'am, what did you do while you were there?
Right.
You know, I would like to know a record of your accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, why should I keep voting for you?
Right.
If I'm going to just send a person there to do nothing, why don't we send a new person every 2 years?
Right.
You know, because if you're going to be there for this long and do nothing, why we continue to pay you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know where you plan to work or own your own company, whatever, but if you continue to get paid without performance, mm-hmm. it will not last.
Right.
Whether it's your own business or for someone else, it won't last.
And I think it comes down to, some of it comes down to, you know, just politicians holding themselves accountable.
Yep.
You know, and most of them don't.
Right.
So.
Yep.
There's that.
Yeah. Now, who is your greatest inspiration and why?
My greatest inspiration right now, or like just...
You can have more than one. Yeah.
I have multiple. So
yeah, that's cool.
My greatest inspiration, man, it's tough to talk about it, but it's my granddad.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer here, but just everything that I do, I have him in mind. My grandparents, like from my mom's side, I never met my grandparents from my dad's side. You know, mm-hmm. they passed on way before I was born. But just, you know, knowing that what I'm going to achieve in my life, he's gonna be proud of it. My family, actually, my whole family is my greatest inspiration right now. And I have, you know, been so blessed. You know, mm-hmm. they're supportive. My mom's actually coming out for graduation.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, so she never gets on a plane. You know, I've been here 4 years now, but she has never...
That's a long flight, too.
She's afraid. She's afraid.
That's a long flight.
Yeah. I love mom, but she's afraid. So like just when I found out that, you know, she booked her flight ticket, and I cried. I was like, my mom's coming, you know, because
wow.
she and my dad, like, they put me through school.
Mm-hmm.
And just my dad can't be there because of work, you know, but my mom's going to be there. And just knowing that she's going to be in that same room, you know, as
wow.
I walk across the stage is so important
wow.
to me. And people, like, they don't. everyone's different, but sometimes I feel like people just don't appreciate their parents, mm-hmm. or even their family, even their social support group, you know, right. they don't appreciate them, they don't give them credit. And I have the privilege of knowing, you know, great people in my circle. Mm-hmm. You are one of them.
Thank you.
So
Thank you.
Just, you know, just appreciating them, you know, mm-hmm. that's, I feel like, in a nutshell, that's my inspiration. I want to leave this world better than I found it.
I love it. So. I say that all the time, man.
Yeah.
It just leave it better than you found. And that's with, and it's not just the whole body of life, like mm-hmm. your whole, but as each day, you know,
at the every intersection.
Yeah, you're the president of an organization mm-hmm. now. I would like to think that today is better than the day before you were the president.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know Cy Beta was like it just continued to elevate. And when you do reach that final destination, you'll never know. But at your funeral, like I said in the book, mm-hmm. I want them saying, how are we going to replace him with her? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like with everything she did, it was so amazing.
Yeah.
We need a million Jasmines just to replace one, you know?
Yeah.
One last question. If you had the opportunity to go back at a critical point in the world, in the history of the world, where would you go back and what would you change?
Man, that's a tough question. Because I feel like everything happens for a reason.
I agree.
And if I were to go back in time and change stuff, then the whole sequence of events are going to be messed up. But personally, I feel like I would go back into my own life when I was like a teen and maybe not have so much resentment towards my parents, you know? And I feel that just having to unlearn that resentment mm-hmm. has, you know, hindered me, mm-hmm. but it also helped me grow. But I just want to know what it's like to like not have that resentment during my teen years, you know, when you're, you know, in that stage of like developing your identity, you know, trying to figure out who are you, you know.
Y'all crazy just anyway. Yeah.
No, we're not.
I was crazy. I was a teen one time.
But just you know, trying to just wonder, you know, what would my thought process be like just without having to deal with all the extra stuff that comes with growing up in Singapore, you know?
Yeah, you complicated it.
I didn't.
it was complicated.
But I was responsible
for
my actions, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different answer. I like that one. That's a different one. So before we go, tell them where they can find you, talk about your photography business.
I'm on Instagram, Jasmine John.
Okay.
Not Jasmine.
No, Jasmine.
Jasmine John.
Jazz for the win.
Yes, and my Twitter and Instagram for my art stuff is JasmineJ_. My photography is on there, my artwork is on there. I do stuff like that on the side just so I can keep my sanity.
Right.
You know, I just paint every now and then, so that's where you can find me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook that much because it's for the older guys.
It's for the old people, man.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Man.
Man, oh man.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to start getting on Facebook. Y'all going to start calling me old.
No, but Facebook is not a bad thing, but I'm just not on there. It's not like, I feel like it's not user friendly.
Yeah.
As in what I want to do with, you know, with social media, it's not user friendly, so.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you again for
Thank you for having me.
No,
like,
man.
Like, who would have thought, right?
Hey, listen. I've been trying to get her on forever, and she finally came through for you, boy.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got for you today, man. We appreciate you guys listening to us on the Life is Not Complicated Strong Opinions podcast. Talk to y'all next week.